which relates to the retention by the clerk of court's office of certain biological material. The statute, as amended in 947.07, I think was really first created in 2001, allows defendants in criminal proceedings to have access to retained biological material for purposes of DNA testing. I know this is an issue that is before the court right now and very contemporary. That's all well and good. However, Supreme Court Rule 72.01.46 allows the clerk to throw away the biological material at the end of a year. So the defendant might be a bit hard-pressed to get DNA testing of something that has been tossed out. What we would suggest doing with the rule is to modify it in a way that would give some substance to the statute, to extend the retention period on biological material, whatever that may be. Typically one would assume it's an exhibit, probably blood, semen, or some other bodily fluid, for a period of 50 years. 50 years is the overall retention period on felony information, and that's why that particular period of time was picked.
Judge Murphy, why didn't you just say retain it for a period of time consistent with 974.07?
I think
why just pick a time like 50 years? Because someone could be incarcerated for longer than 50 years and at some point want this sample.
Well, Justice Rosenstein, I think at some point the clerk's going to want to throw this stuff out. I mean, there is a certain housekeeping necessity that exists, particularly in large counties where they retain heavy volumes of.
I understand all of that, but I also understand the legislature has made a choice about permitting defendants to have access to this type of material for as long as they're incarcerated if they meet certain conditions. And my concern is, by changing the rule as you suggest, we may solve a current problem, and I agree with you, something needs to happen. But I'm not sure that we're not perhaps creating another one for ourselves down the road.
I think there probably should be some sort of outside time limit just so the clerk has some ability at some point to call the materials, even if you set it out 100 years. I don't know that 50 years is, you know, is a sacred number by any means. It certainly isn't. It's just something consistent with other felony document retention, because this may be more important than just the court records about a felony conviction, because we don't know what science will bring in the future in terms
that's
of...
that's my concern.
Sure, I can appreciate that. On the other hand, I also appreciate the necessity of having space in a courthouse or someplace to store material. I don't think this is a voluminous amount of stuff, but in larger counties, it may be more of a logistical problem than it is in a small county.
But see, even with 50 years, just say someone was involved in a crime and there was biological evidence that came from that crime that the clerk had control of. If the person is finished with his or her term and is released from the full prison term, both in house and out of house, in 25 years, then there isn't any reason to keep it for 50 years. I just think that, you know, I guess I have some concerns about just picking the number from both sides of the street. My biggest one is that I don't know what science is going to bring tomorrow, and if someone's incarcerated for something that they continue to allege they didn't do and we learn some new test, it'd be nice to be able to, no matter how old that person is, to have them have the opportunity to prove his or her innocence, if that's possible. And then the other part of it is, of course, the housekeeping you talk about. We may not need 50 years, so why keep it 50 years if, you know, no one's been incarcerated? I mean, I wonder, you know, if the person that was incarcerated is out and gone, and, you know, all times for appeal certainly would have run. I wonder, do we need 50 years on that kind of information?
Well, perhaps not. The problem would be, how would the clerk of courts know that? I mean, there was no system for that
That's true. That's true. I don't know. I mean, I don't know enough about how our data on sentencing and how we keep track of all of that once someone gets into the Department of Corrections meshes with our record keeping, but I have trouble with just 50 years, obviously.
Okay. I'm not sure I understand this.
97407, at least the parts I read and can remember, it's a pretty long section. It has no time period, right?
Right.
Okay. So if somebody is convicted of rape and spends 10 years in prison, right, is released, the clerk would have to keep this for 50 years anyway from the time period, right?
Correct.
And I'm assuming if he or she has been convicted of rape, that should something develop after they've spent 10 years in prison plus more time on extended supervision and DNA is improved, that they might want to bring a motion under 970407, and there's no time limit on that,
right,
and get rid of that rape conviction, because should they get into another felony or misdemeanor, it might be a habitual criminal issue, as well as other penalties that are consequential from felony, right?
Sure.
And that's all right. So along the period, then, the prison term is desirable.
Well, especially in Wisconsin, where you could become classified as a sexual predator for your life, you could also be subject to civil commitment for the treatment of sexual offenders for your life. And if this DNA material somehow found that you didn't commit the initial crime,
right,
all those things would come to an end.
Yeah. So you have to do it more than just the prison term. And so then the other side of the question is 50 long enough, since can they get convicted at 10 now? And 50 would only make a person 60, which appears to me quite young. We understand each other, Judge Murphy.
Judge Murphy, if I could, I'm reminded of the Stephen Avery Gregory Allen case. And so I concur with the Chief Justice that I don't have a problem with the 50, but I guess to follow up Justice Rogenstein's question on the other end, would it be prudent to consider those who are serving life sentences in terms of maybe making an exception in that circumstance, because sometimes they may outlive the 50-year time period?
It certainly would be prudent. The problem always is, Justice Butler, is what does the clerk of courts know about the person's time in the Department of Corrections system? I mean, they really don't have privy to that information in a general way. And what the clerk needs is uniformity in terms of, you know, really a bright line. When can I throw something away? And I'm not sure, maybe 50 years is a bad idea, but I also think...
Well, I think 50 as a minimum is a good idea.
Well, as a minimum, I would be a bit, from the clerk's standpoint, I would be a bit concerned about saying forever.
But about 70. You don't object to a longer term than 50.
I certainly don't.
Okay.
And I would think, logistically, this doesn't create major problems for the clerk's office, because I just can't envision it's not like a whole body sitting around in some attic someplace. We hope not. Although there was always this myth that up on the sixth floor of the Sheboygan courthouse, there was a heart in a box from some ancient murder in Sheboygan County.
Would it be feasible to have trial judges at the time of sentencing enter an order that controlled the disposition of evidence? For example, if they give someone a life sentence, then to say in a way that the clerk could easily find, this evidence must be retained until this person's incarceration period ends, or he is deceased, or she is deceased. Would that be doable at all?
Sir, it's possible, because any time you tag something with a court order, the clerk 50 years now, because we're not talking about the same clerk anymore, but 50 years has gone by, and the subsequent clerk way down the road comes in and here's a box with blood in it,
right,
a blood vial. They look at the box. There's a piece of paper on that says, do not destroy without further order of the court. At least at that point, then the clerk can take the material, return to the court and say, Judge, I want to throw this stuff away. Can we can we take a look and see if that's okay? I mean, that would be another way of doing it on a case-by-case basis.
But then you'd have to have someone that would be set up to review this evidence on a rotating basis, and that might be more work than...
It would be more work if you're going to review it. I mean, one way to do it is to say maybe put the bright line of 50 years, but use 50 years as the point of investigation. So once something reaches a 50-year point, you bring it back to the court to see if there's any reason not to destroy it. I think the presumption is you would destroy it maybe at 50 years, and then but the actual destruction would not take place until such time as the court signs off on it. Something like that might add that extra protection, because if the court then checks it out and finds out this person died many years ago, it'd be no problem. Mm-hmm. That might be a way of dealing with that.
Okay. Thank
any
you.
Other questions? Hearing none, are there any other appearances on this?
There was one other retention period.
Okay, and I saw that. That's at the tail end of that provision. I'm sorry, a 10-year.
Yeah, it's a 10-year one for certification of status of pending cases. It's just to have a retention period for the status of pending cases, documents that the circuit courts complete. 10 years is about 5 years beyond what the judicial disciplinary board looks at as kind of a statute of limitations. They supposedly kind of look 5 years as far back as they care to go. So if there's a complaint and they're checking on a judge who's alleged not to have been completing his or her work in a timely fashion, they don't really look past 5 years. So 10 years was thought to be sufficient safeguard for those documents.
Good. Thank you very much,
you.
Judge Murphy, on both of those matters and for all your work in this area. Hearing no one else on 0503 on record retention, this hearing is closed, and we